shine, little Uber, liver, liver, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNAP's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I am here with my favorite gardener, Lance Swaggart. Good evening, Lance.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How are you tonight?
Oh, good.
Good. Well, we mentioned live call-in. That's right. We're coming to you live from the KVNF studios, and you can call us at 527-4868-1866. KVNF Now. Jeff is in the control room, ready to take your call, and Lance is here, ready to answer your questions.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We are actually on our fourth week of
We added one.
We did add one because it's been a great discussion and we've had some great callers and questions, and hope you guys will give us a call tonight. We've been talking about the benefits of seed saving. We did annuals, biannuals, things that are easy to grow, ways to pollinate, storage, the whole gamut.
Yeah. Just a few more plants, a few more biennials, or if people have questions about something we missed.
Right.
Or they missed. Yeah. We can go ahead and call.
We'll take anything tonight. 527-4868-1866, KVNF Now. And we're going to go into the brassica family.
Yeah, we mentioned last week we do the brassicas this week. And there's actually the brassicas, we have the broccoli, the cauliflower, and kale and kohlrabi. That's actually one group. That's the main group that there is. And then there's the another group, rapa, and that's turnips and broccoli rabe, Chinese cabbage, and Chinese mustard. And then there's also the radishes.
Okay.
And the three groups, they will not cross-plant between those groups, but the broccoli, but within their own group, radishes will cross with radishes. And
okay.
The rapa, all the rapas will cross with all of them, and then all the oleraceae, can't pronounce that thing, but the broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, collards, kale, and kohlrabi, they'll all cross.
Oh, wow. That's a big variety. So you really got to zero in on what you want. Is that correct?
That, and also just do one each year.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I grow a kale crop out, I usually get about 2 pounds of seed. So that's,
oh, wow.
That's 10 years worth of seed for a backyard gardener.
Yeah. So doing one a year does make sense.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to want just, for seed. And
yeah.
Then
it just, it'll take a little bit to get up to it. And then once you've got it, you'll have it for a long time.
Okay. And where do you determine what group those belong in? Do you have a resource that we're going to look at? Is that in the seed catalog?
It will say it in the seed catalog.
In the seed catalog.
Yeah, it will say it. And these are, I'm going to spell the word, the broccoli. It's O-L-E-R-A-C-E-A. And that's the broccoli and cauliflower. Rapa is R-A-P-A. And the radish is Staphylus, or S-A-T-I-V-U-S. Those are the three main groups. There's many other groups here, but those are the main ones that were it looks like we have rutabagas, and that's another group there, and some of the mustards, and those are all different groups there.
Okay, so if you're growing seed, watch and only do one plant variety per group.
Yeah, per
group. So you don't cross-pollinate.
You can't cross-pollinate.
Okay.
Like 1 year, I was worried because I had grown radishes and kohlrabi, but I checked it up, and they do not cross.
Two different groups. Yeah. And this brassica is the cabbage family?
These all fall
under the cabbage family.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is good to know. And I think sometimes you just think seed and that pollination thing, as we've learned, there's all kinds of factors that you really need to consider.
Yeah. And one thing that's unique about this cabbage family is that if you have just one plant, broccoli, cauliflower, or radish, it's not going to pollinate itself. It's not self-pollinating. So you need a minimum, some say six, but it's better 20 or more plants.
Okay.
And the bees will take the pollen from the other plants to that plant and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not self-fruitful.
And we've learned that in general, for a variety of reasons, that you do want to plant quite a few plants when you're going for seed.
Yeah.
So that you're getting that biodiversity.
Yeah.
And,
the genetic diversity.
Genetic diversity.
You know, in Suzanne Ashcross from Seed to Seed, she said 6 broccoli plants, but she also goes, and 20 would be really a lot better.
Right.
You know, so.
As much as you can do.
Yeah.
Or reasonably, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know? And then most of these are biennials, so you actually have to store them.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit, because kind of is a little bit different for me to wrap my mind around.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the popcorn?
You want to talk about the popcorn?
I do want to talk about the popcorn.
Okay, go for that.
Well, you are about to be as famous for your popcorn as your carrots, because it is quite delicious. And we've talked about before how you pick what ears you pick.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for a smoother kernel, I think
it was. Yeah, that was the, just because when you're, to get corn off a cob, it's called shelling. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing it by hand, popcorn's really sharp. But there's some of those ears that have rounded kernels. And that's what I've been picking. And slowly and surely, I'm getting more and more round and less of the pointed. Because I'm doing this by hand.
Right. One of the benefits of seed saving.
Yeah.
Because you're going for that trait that you like.
Yeah.
And you're.
And so you just take the best filled or formed ears, and you only take the seed from the middle of the ear. The rest of both ends, I pop. And that's what I'm doing. And and you just dry it out. And anything that you're growing for seed, you leave it on the plant as long as possible.
As long as possible. Yeah, that seems to be a regular rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you plant yours in clusters or?
It depends on what type of corn I'm growing.
What type of corn?
The popcorn I'm planting every 12 to 16 inches.
Okay.
And those rows are probably about 18 inches apart.
Okay. Okay, so that's the popcorn thing, and that's kind of easy seed. But in something like, let's say a turnip, we're going to pick the best turnips, the turnips that have the traits that we like.
Yeah.
And we're going to store those.
You're going to store them. Yeah, so the turnip, you're going to get color, shape, and even size.
Okay.
And then what you're going to do is you're going to pull it. Well, you've already pulled them because that's how you're going to see what you got.
Right.
And then you, there's a way to trim them. And I mentioned this last week on the carrots and the beets, that you almost make them like a pyramid.
Right. You did
mention that. And then you store them that way. Okay. And then in the spring, say late March, early April, you pull them out of your storage, whatever way you've stored them. Mine are in a trench. Mm-hmm. Not turnips, because I don't grow turnips, but the carrots and beets and kohlrabis are in the trench. And then you set them back out. And I plant them all the way to their shoulders all the way into the ground. That's not really how they grew, you know, but that's how I plant them.
And so they're all the way into the dirt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to don't let them dry out. And the other thing is I stake all of these up. I put stakes around the corners and on the sides, and I put string up there because they can fall over easily.
So they're going to grow pretty big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll grow up to 3 or 4 feet tall.
Right. And so you're actually, with example, a carrot, you're taking a carrot that looks really good, has the traits that you like, storing it, making sure it doesn't dry out. You're trimming it with the pyramid trim shape. And then you're going to just put that all the way back in the dirt the next year and grow that out for seed.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that I'm going to say this, that you don't let them dry out. Because they look like they're growing, but they're just growing off of the starch from the carrot. But if you let them, don't water them, they're not going to produce the flower and the seed. So you have to keep them moist, just like anything else, except for, I've mentioned in the past, lettuce likes to be on the dry side.
Okay, so most seed you're going to keep moist.
Moist. You know, and at a certain point you're going to cut water because you want all the seeds to dry out.
Right.
But
during the summer while that plant is growing, you need it.
You need, and you're going to have to stake them somehow, trellis them somehow to do that.
Okay. All right. 527-486-8 1-866 KVNF now. We've talked about broccoli. We've had people call about broccoli before. Mm-hmm. And what's the optimal time to get the broccoli going?
I was reading broccoli again for seed production. You want a to winter over. It needs a winter dormant period. And here, broccoli, if you left it in the garden, would freeze right to the ground. So I would do the same thing that I do with cabbage, which is I pull the whole plant up, and I would store it in buckets of sand, and I'd check the sand, moist sand. And I every 2 weeks, I check that sand to see if it needs moisture.
As we go through the winter, mm-hmm. you're checking that.
And you want that broccoli to start having, maybe start having that head forming. And it said in the book here that you really need that central head. Most people want to cut that off and eat it, but mm-hmm. that's going to be the best seed production. That thing. So you really want that. And I've not heard of anybody doing cauliflower for seed, but it's technically the same process.
Okay.
And you want them. So you would plant them in mid to late June, if not early July. Put them in seed start. I plant cabbage middle of June for a fall harvest, but that broccoli and cauliflower could be a little bit shorter, so maybe mid-July. And you might put it in your little pot starting pots and mm-hmm. then set it out, mm-hmm. and then you would have to dig them back up.
Okay. And when you say it needs the winter, is this a cold thing? Is this a moist bucket of sand out in the cold?
No, I think it's actually a dormant period.
A dormant period.
Mm-hmm. Which is cold, or it could be just that it needs short day lengths.
Gotcha. Okay. And there's some sort of trick that you have for your cabbage and how you score that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Cabbage, when you set them back out, you cut them, put a cross across them, and you cut down pretty deep. And that's because that flower seed head will never make it through all those cabbage leaves.
So you're giving it some help,
giving it a little help, because these have all been selected over thousands of years for certain things. They all pretty much started as the same plant, a leafy green. And then the side shoots for broccoli. Oh, we really like that broccoli. And so they started manipulating the seed selection. And that's where the seed had the same with cauliflower. And but all these came out, and even cabbage were a leafy thing, more like kale or collards.
Oh, sure. And then as they pick seed in the traits, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. the same thing we're talking about. It's that acclimation and...
And it's took thousands of years.
Okay. And so how many cabbage plants do you put out for seed?
Last year I did 25.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So it's sort of a shame. That's a heck of a lot of cabbage, but... I didn't eat one of them.
Yeah, that is a lot of cabbage. And we were lucky enough, DJ Leah, who was up at your garden, had mm-hmm. a great series of pictures that showed those scored cabbages uh-huh. Fresh into the ground. And then at the end of the cycle, just amazingly large plants of seed pods.
They got about 6 or 7 feet tall.
Yeah, crazy. Do you stock those up as well? Do you stake those up and... give them some support?
If I needed to. Mm-hmm. They are pretty stout. But if I need to, I will. If I see something falling over, it's going to be staked up.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem. And then, leave the seed as long as possible. But mm-hmm. the brassica seeds have a tendency to shatter, which is mean the seed pod explodes.
Okay. So as it dries out,
they pop. So I actually start watching it. And what I'll do is I'll actually cut those stalks and lay them on sheets. I use old sheets because uh-huh. the seed will fall through
other
tarps or something. Mm-hmm. So I use sheets for those.
So you watch, and when that pod starts drying out, you set it on the sheet to dry.
Yeah.
and then you, I know there's a lot of these seeds that you do kind of the funky dance on.
That's one of them.
That's one of them.
They're really easy.
Yeah, just get your stomping boots out uh-huh. and go to town, mm-hmm. huh?
Yeah. But since the seed pods shatter, they just a little touch and they're open.
And then you've got the whole thing. And mm-hmm. you have some sort of system that you use different screens.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of start with the bigger one or...
Yeah, yeah, depending on the size. And mm-hmm. You go with the bigger one and then down to the next one and down to mm-hmm. the next one. And once you get most of that stuff screened out, especially if it's small seed... then you can winnow it if you want to. But if you tried to winnow it when you have all that really big trash in it, it'll blow the seed out too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just do it the other way.
That sounds like you got a good system. Go in there.
You know, you just take your time. You got all winter.
Right. There you go. And you're still working on it, aren't you?
Yes. I still have one bucket of seeds. I got a good portion of it done today on a rainy day.
What kind of seed is that?
That's Tithonia Mexican sunflower.
Ooh.
And they're spiny. So I actually have rubberized gloves on and I'm taking them out that way.
Uh-huh. And when was the last time you grew that?
Well, I try to grow it every year because it's just pretty.
Uh-huh.
But I had to really make a serious effort to harvest the seed this year because the birds really like it.
Oh,
and
really?
The chipmunks. If you have a chipmunk problem, they really like seeds. That's what chipmunks eat. They don't eat greens. They eat seeds.
They eat seeds.
So if you're growing anything for seed and you have a chipmunk problem, you're going to have have some competition there.
That sounds kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 527-486-8866-KVNF now. Any trick to mustards?
Growing? Mustards are generally an annual.
An annual.
So
okay.
You plant it early in the season and just let it go.
Just let it go.
And remember, you need to just, that's that bit of mustard, you're not going to harvest it for eating. Just let it go.
Yeah.
You know, and then let it do its thing. Because it needs those leaves to produce the seed stock, to produce flowers for set seeds. So.
Yeah, none of these have any kind of fermentation requirement
No.
for the seeds. Okay,
No.
We talked about that with tomatoes and cucumbers.
Cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
And most of your squash and melons, they like to be at least be soaked overnight.
Mm. Oh, so just soaking, not necessarily the...
Fermenting.
Right,
yeah.
Just soak overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then you need to dry them thoroughly, and again on plates or, you know, cookie sheets, but do not use paper. Because or a towel or something, because they'll just stick to all those things.
Yeah, all of these that you're soaking and fermenting.
Yeah.
Right? All right. Okay. Kale, kohlrabi, spinach. No, spinach is not in this group.
No. Kohlrabi, I did grow some purple kohlrabi. My friend from Jan from Gunnison brought it down, and they did so well, we didn't eat them. We saved them all for seed production. And that's, again, you plant, take the whole plant, roots and all. And I did trim the leaves off because they're going to rot off anyways. And I will plant those again in the same time.
So you're storing that.
They're stored.
Mm-hmm.
And they will elongate out that center thing. They put this big long, and it looks just like a cabbage flower, broccoli flower.
Right.
You know, it's a kohlrabi.
Yeah. All right. Fennel is also in this family?
No, fennel is
not. Okay.
In the umbriel family.
In the umbriel family.
And, you know, maybe it's some other more thing, but it's most fennel's a biennial.
Okay.
And this particular one I'm talking about is Finocchio. And I've dug it up and stored it, the roots and all, and I've left it in the ground and mulched it real thickly. I like leaving it in the ground right where it's at. And, you know, and it worked really good that way, and the insects really love it, and, you know, you get a heck of a lot of seed.
Okay, so did you store it during the winter, or you left it in the ground?
The last time I grew it out for seed, I left it in the ground.
Left it in the ground,
yeah.
Okay.
But I did mulch it,
uh-huh.
You know, because, again, it's a Mediterranean. It's not going to survive in the ground on its own here. Oh, the bronze fennel will.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely hardy.
Yeah, and interesting where those plants come from. Kind of thing. You've got this great book here that pertains to flowers, and it's a world map and where the flowers actually originated from.
The common flowers. It's really quite interesting.
It's quite interesting. I mean, a lot of the stuff that you see commonly here, well, in Paeonia, peonies from China.
Yeah. The early spring flower, the bleeding heart, is from Japan.
Oh, really?
Wisteria is Japan.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Or the French marigold, what we call French marigold, is actually from Mexico.
Right.
Cosmos from Mexico. Dahlias from Mexico. And I also say that every time I mention dahlias, they're actually quite edible, those tubers on dahlias.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
That sounds great. I'm going to try that this year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably people out there thinking about flower seeds right now.
Yeah, yeah. Bottle brush, which is Melaleuca. People have probably had Melaleuca cleaning and product type stuff, that's actually Australian.
Okay, yeah, Australian. Mm. And there's all kinds of common things here that's just crazy. Yeah, gardenia, aster, daylily from China, chrysanthemum, mm-hmm. hollyhock, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And the tulip is pretty easily known. Most people think holly, but it's, I mean Holland, but it's actually Turkey.
Yeah, Turkey. Tulip's coming from Turkey.
And that is the word that tulip came from meant upside down turban.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. If you look at a tulip, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I'd like to see that same thing for vegetables. Yeah. That same map.
Yeah, I have another book, but I don't have a map of it. The maps are really uh-huh. a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are. Like that visual thing. Uh-huh. All right, who's out there seed saving? 527-486-8166, KVNF now. You've got a couple resources here, too. We mentioned them last week. I want to mention them again because they've got a lot of good information in them for seed saving.
Yeah, one is Seed to Seed from Suzanne Ashworth, and that's better for the common gardener or backyard gardener because she's doing this out of her backyard garden in Sacramento.
Okay, so she's...
Yeah, so there's a lot of hand pollinating and also caging, which I've mentioned.
Right, you know. Caging to prevent cross-pollination.
So if you mm-hmm. wanted to do two of those brassicas from the broccoli family, you'd one day put the cage on one. Well, what you could do is have cages on both of them and open the door on one and then switch opening the door back and forth every day.
Okay. There you go. Kind of control that, right?
Yeah, so that the cross-pollination doesn't happen between that.
Right, so you do have to work a little harder and mm-hmm. really be
You know, and if you're more conscious. more out here in the rural areas, you can have, there's actually isolation distances.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
how far you want to plant away from
the next, that other crop.
Sometimes that can be rather large.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but most of these, they're saying a couple miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. So you do want to be aware of what your neighbor's growing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which way the wind blows.
Which way the wind blows. That's good with corn and, let's see, beets, chard, spinach, wind pollinated.
Wind pollinated.
Most things are insect pollinated, so you have to know, mm-hmm. You know, carrots, you know, all those things. A lot of insect pollination, too.
Right. But wind pollination is just sort of being aware of... the wind patterns maybe mm-hmm. around your area or garden and thinking about how you can take mm-hmm. advantage of those. Or
yeah, you can take advantage. I mm-hmm. I used to have two gardens, north and south, and the wind blows east and west. So I could grow corn in both gardens.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. What happened? Did you consolidate?
No, I sold that property.
Mm, okay. Well, you got one big old garden now, yeah. So I bet that was...
Yeah, I was like, how did I ever keep two of these going? Gosh. I literally was running back and forth.
Yeah, between the north and the south. That's great.
You know.
Well, you keep very busy right now. So, you know, we were talking about the weather and up here in the North Fork, it's just the rain and the snow mm-hmm. is almost gone off of the...
Yeah. There's no frozen ground out there.
No frozen ground. That's kind of nerve-wracking, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I saw some lilies coming up.
Lilies, really?
Mm-hmm. Something coming up.
Well,
green
what did I bring you
snow.
Today?
Yeah, a bag of spinach. Can you believe that?
That was underneath the snow.
That is, thank you, snow, for melting there. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And that's that spinach that you planted.
In mid-September.
Mid-September and been eating off of that for quite some time now. Yeah. That's amazing. Just keeps on giving and giving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about radishes.
Okay. That sounds good.
The radishes can be treated as an annual, and also lots of them are treated as a biennial. And the radishes like your cherry radishes and the French breakfast radishes, those kind of guys that are smaller mm-hmm. and quick growing, you plant them in the spring. And you would thin them to the end, to size and shape and color that you want, and you just let them go.
Okay.
Just let them keep on growing, just mm-hmm. like you would the mustard or the lettuce, mm-hmm. and let them bloom.
Keep them moist.
Yeah, keep mm-hmm. them moist and let them bloom. And if you're into, what do I want to say? We've mentioned where you take the seed from the plant.
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably want the lower seed pods because it's a root. You won't take the ones from the top because that would just be top growth.
Okay.
So the lower branches down, that's probably where you want to
pick those seeds.
And those
to
are the
save.
Ones, mm-hmm. and radishes, those are the ones that are going to ripen first.
Okay.
Yeah. And radishes, it seems to me, same with the beets and Swiss chard, is they're indeterminate. In other words, they just keep growing as long as you keep watering them.
Oh, yeah.
Or they get a hard frost. So, this, you know, at a certain point, you want to hold water off on them.
Okay. And then you can tell that by, we had the other plant with the seed pod kind of drying out, mm-hmm. that was getting close to being able to pull that and put it on the sheet. But what about these? When do you decide that water's getting cut
I off? Would, if you got really good seed pod production on those radishes, the ones you plant for in the spring, if it's September, I'd cut the water off of them.
Okay.
And just let them dry out. You can always pull a pod off and see what the seeds look like inside.
Sure. Sure. There you go.
And if they're right size and shape, then mm-hmm. dry them out.
All right. So once they get to what looks mm-hmm. like your seed should be, take the water off.
Yeah. And then the other ones, like the daikons, the fall daikon radishes mm-hmm. and the round black Spanish radishes, these are storage radishes. Well, the round black Spanish can actually be stored. The daikons be stored to a certain degree. Again, you trim them, like I've mentioned, the carrots and beets, sort of that pyramid shape thing. And you would store them just like you do your regular carrots and stuff. You put them in the same type of, I think it's 80 or 90% humidity and 32 degrees is their best.
Okay.
Or you
mm-hmm.
can put them in the trench like I got,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they'll store just fine. And then you would set them out again in spring.
Okay, so two different kinds of radishes there.
Yeah.
One has the seed, the other you're going with the actual root, putting the root back in
and mm-hmm. Planting it back out, and it'll be the seed next year.
Okay. How do you keep your food in your pit moist with that humidity you just mentioned, 80 plus?
Oh,
what was the humidity you mentioned?
80 to 90% on most root crops.
Uh-huh. Right.
I have a pit, and I actually... That one, I put an inch of sand down. I put all the root crops on it. And then I put 6 inches of sand, and I take the hose and put water on it.
Oh, wow.
And it's still moist.
Okay.
It's just actually, I've gotten in there twice. I got one more time of getting root stuff out of there. And it's almost dry, almost starting. It's like, it's going to be just perfect.
Oh, really?
And then the trench in the ground is just moisture from the ground. And right now, there's plenty of moisture in the ground.
Okay. So not a worry there.
No.
It's a good sand trick. That's the same thing you're doing with the cabbage and the broccoli when you winter it over. You're using the sand to keep it moist, right?
Yeah, in the roots, just on the roots on those guys. Yeah.
Just on the roots on those guys,
right? Yeah. You can't bury the cabbage or the broccoli. You don't want to bury that.
Right. You're just putting the roots in the sand.
Yeah. But they're in dark. They're covered in tarps, and they're not getting any sunlight.
Okay, roots in sand, cover in dark.
Yeah, you know, because if it was light even this time of year, they'd mm-hmm. start growing, which is way too soon.
Okay, and keep it moist.
Yeah,
moist sand,
mm-hmm.
going for that dormant period. Yeah,
yeah,
you don't want them growing.
No.
Yeah. Okay, and then radishes. Okay, what else you got on that list?
Parsnips.
Parsnips,
yeah.
Yummy.
Yeah, and again, you're going to have to dig these. Now, parsnips are extremely hardy, and you can lead them in the ground, but you don't know what the shape of the root is.
Okay, so,
Yeah, so you really should dig them up in the fall and select the ones you want to set out for seed production.
And you're looking for what? Color, size?
Yeah, the right taper. You know, they taper long,
mm-hmm.
you know, that... You don't want forked ones.
Okay.
You know, and if you leave them in the ground, yes, you're going to get seed production, but you're going to get these other traits that just showed up.
Right, right. And that's part of one of the benefits of seed saving is you get to select what traits you really
and
like.
And, of course, parsnips are all white,
mm-hmm.
you know, so good color. But how their shoulders are and how they taper down to their tips and stuff like that. And again, they're a little bit harder because... They can be over 16 inches long, and to replant them is a chore.
Crazy digging.
Well, I've actually laid them sideways to a certain extent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, because it's too deep. I dig them as deep as possible and then a longer hole so that I can sort of bend them up.
Just lay it on down in there.
Because
mm-hmm.
you know.
You're growing this for seed now
mm-hmm.
when they're that big.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what you're putting back in the ground.
And one of those, again, it's like the carrots. You don't take that first flower clump. In fact, just cut it off because that's all top growth. You want the side shoots more. That will pertain to root growth.
Yeah, closer to the root itself.
Yeah. Yep. And there is some insect that will likes to eat the seeds right on the plant. So you might have to do some little diatomaceous earth or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, we're getting close to talking about that kind of stuff coming up. Diatomaceous earth and things. And in general, well, I guess you've got the chipmunk issue. Birds can go after your seeds.
Yeah, 1 year I grew red romaine, and I looked over it once, and it was so covered, the seed part.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the seeds, they were actually funny, was so covered with a caterpillar I'd never seen before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that I hand-picked them off, and the first picking I... Don't ask me why I was counting. I picked off over 90.
Oh, my goodness.
And then
gracious.
I came back the next day and got another 20 or 30 off. And then after that, it was, you know, one or two. But it's like, where did these guys come from?
Right.
So, you know,
just showed up. So some crazy bugs can happen that are looking for eat your seed.
And, you know, that was, like I said, a red romaine that was some friends had given me. So.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. So what are you really excited about growing for seed this year? You know, you've got your thoughts about what's coming out of the seed storage. And
yeah, the purple kohlrabi.
Purple kohlrabi. Yeah, yeah, the one that Jan brought down and you guys saved for seed.
That's going to be nice. And, I don't know. I don't have to do kale. Don't have to do radishes or fennel this year. I mentioned I'm going to grow peas, so I have to look at the dates on those. Either the Amish snap pea, which is really, really good, or the Oregon giant snow pea. So one of those. Those will be fun. And I'll be growing some pole beans, so the Cascade giant, most likely.
For seed.
For seed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe some. Maybe I have a different type of runner bean. It has a peach-colored flower.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
And it's related to scarlet runners, which have that red flower with the beautiful purple and black seeds. Well, this is more of a tan seed, but it's a peach-colored flower.
Uh-huh. Amazing.
Yeah.
So in your big garden up there, it's not always the same variety of beans, folks.
Oh, no. No, it's something different every year.
No kidding. That is so awesome, Lance.
Yeah. And we'll see how the acorn does this year. That's that ancient grain.
Right. And you're going to go for that. Last year it was quinoa. Are you doing that again? Or?
I might do another variety, quinoa.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still working on cleaning last year's quinoa.
Are you? Was it more work than you expected? Or
I didn't have any expectations on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that it's so small, so light that it actually winnowing it is not really the best thing. So I've screened it twice now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to screen it one more time.
Yeah, well, you still got a little bit of winter left.
I still got it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this has been great. I've learned a lot. Seed saving. It seems like we brought everything together that we've been talking about for a couple years. And we've got some great topics coming up as we go into the spring. We're going to be talking about pruning, grain growing, compost, and planting.
Early planting, yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun. And next week, we're going to have a special guest, Jer Lowe from Earth Friendly Supply here in Paonia, will be in with us. And so we will see you next week. And it's One Woman's Perspective coming up on KVNF. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Have a good evening.
Good night, Lance.
Good night.
Slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.